let me thank for the FA College in Coquimbo, the whole team, and with them. Especially wanted to interact with you to be assured on a number of things, given that this, the Department of Tourism has been escalated to a full department rather than a program in the past. That has got its own limitations and expectations. And secondly, let me thank you for a number of successes, one of which is growth in a declining economy, in better growth in tourism. I think part of the growth and the main part of the growth must have been your contribution in tourism. And we also acknowledge that this is the tourism month, in as much as it is a heritage month. We are proud of our heritage, and we would like to explore different ways that in which it could enhance our efforts in tourism. And perhaps what we have to become bigger and better. And definitely, as a country, we are proud of our achievements, of our path together, and we are confident of our future. We acknowledge our country in its successes in areas of a democracy, in our performance as an economy, our stable financial infrastructure, a credible judicial framework, and the leadership that expresses professionalism in what is managerially possible. We believe this month will be our springboard for further growth. And despite the global economic meltdown, I think we have to hold our hands together and promote South Africa for different jobs, sustainable livelihoods, both in the urban and rural areas, and for the physically handicapped, and indeed everyone. Today, our meeting with you is around issues of marketing and branding for South African tourism. Here in this area, I have noticed that there are different efforts from different provinces, from different towns, and sometimes from different cities that appear not to converge around one message, which seems to sometimes one approach perhaps may work against the other. They are not mutually supportive, well, according to an observer from where I sit. And there are efforts sometimes in Matanzas, there are efforts in Gauteng, there are efforts in Cape Town, there are efforts in Southern Downs, there are efforts almost everywhere, which don't seem to originate from one bigger money. The challenge is, how do you then create that bigger money? And after creating that bigger money, who pays for that money, especially if there are disagreements between the different stakeholders in tourism? And another challenge we've got is the promotion of our natural resources as a means of tourism. You've got great national parks, Freeport Bridge, medical care and professionalism. I have in some instances at a much more competitive rate than other services of equal value. What do we do with this? Have we used this optimally? How do we together make sure that this serves the public out there, both rural and urban, both black and white, irrespective of whether there is accommodating people with different abilities, different education, and so forth. If these, amongst others, are cut at hand for our country, and we would like to hear from you what your plans are and whether that the resources and capacities that are at your disposal are used in a way that really promotes South Africa's well-being optimally. In those few words, I think CEO Ms. D.D. Moy, I hand over to you, and we are honored to have your presentation here at Johannesburg. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for inviting products and tourism to come and present to you today. We are aware that this is the first presentation that we've done to this committee. So we've taken the opportunity to explain a bit of the background of our work before we start going into the issue. What I'd like to do is I'd like to introduce you to the presentation today. I'm actually the Chief Operating Officer of Products and Tourism, but I'm currently acting as CEO as well. Susan is the Chief Marketing Officer. Next to her is Eddie Saddle, who is the Regional Director for Asia North America. Next to me is Parani Baroy, who is our Executive Liaison Officer. She's a very critical link to us in Parliament. Behind me is Kumi Romo, who is our Regional Director for Africa. And right behind me is Nomathonso Ndobo, who is our Global Manager for Business Tourism. We brought a delegation with us so that we could ask some questions about the first area. The way we've outlined our presentation to you today is that I will give an introduction to products and tourism, which will explain our purpose, our mandate, our country. Then the team will give to us the real part of the matter, which is about the market perspective of products and tourism, which I think will address a lot of the issues of what we've just raised here in our brand. And we focus on marketing and also the key of alignment, something that we are working on. And then Kumi will give you an introduction to Talkit, which is our community campaign. And as I said, we have other delegates who can also ask questions. Thank you. I think the one thing that's really important about delivering on the promise of tourism for South Africa is that it takes a lot of role players to come together to actually make it happen. If you look, there are a whole lot of issues. There's issues like quality assurance, there's brand and marketing in our area, there's incentives and investments, transport, skills, service levels, transformation, safety, product development, particularly amongst the more medium and micro enterprises. What is critical in terms of being able to deliver on the promise of tourism is the fact that we have to work across a number of different agencies who all need to deliver part of the process. The National Department of Tourism is currently in the process of formalizing the strategy, which is around the principles of the tourism growth strategy, in terms of how do we align ourselves, particularly over the next 5 years, in terms of offering tourism and the role players. tourism. As you can see, listed in will be that number two there. Which is our mandate around the marketing and branding of South Africa. As an organization, we are prioritizing the report in to the government through the minister and the DG of the National Department of Tourism. We have a board of 14 people, and then we have an expo and organization of about 150 people. And we have country offices in 10 places around the world. We have to be very circumspect about where we need it in terms of the cost and the activity of running offices in places that have varying currencies from ours. In terms of introducing the executive of product and tourism, there's myself. Johan van der Walt is our chief financial officer. The team next to him is our chief marketing officer. Tim Kuneni from the chief financial tourism officer is currently running the Tourism Grain Council, which currently sits in product and tourism. But part of the strategy for this and the work being done by the department is about the strategy. It currently falls under in terms of the tourism management. We have a management committee. On management committee is Patrick, who's the chief, who runs the currently the chair of the management committee. Lloyd is an admin, Mikhail is a finance manager. Mabaku was an admin as the senior sources manager. William is still acting as the business team that manages to allow research to start next month. Ian is in charge of global advertising, again running events. He was, I think, he came to work with the community for the last week to him. And he runs the product and itinerary. From the point of view, I'm going to say business tourism. Wendy is in charge of PR and global communications. And William's full-time job is e-marketing. We have four regional directors. Fiona does Europe, Mark does Americas and the UK, Pumi is in charge of Africa, and Eddie is Asia, Australasia. In Africa, we have Nomas Wakanda, who runs our domestic study branch, Peter, who was running West Africa, and Shawnee, who runs East Africa. And of course, they have other staff that report to them, because the managers in the team. Mark is in charge of UK and Americas, and Stu is the country manager in the United States, and they were in the UK. Eddie has Bradley in Japan, Meta in India, Bungle in Australia, and Tracy has been acting for us in China. In Europe, Fiona, Thérèse in Germany, Anne-Marie in the Netherlands, Dante in Italy, and Linda in Paris, report to Fiona. And that gives you a basic idea of some of the people inside the organization. In terms of South African tourism, just to understand where you come from as an organization, prior to 2000, arrivals to South Africa was dipping and starting to fall. We got the critical benefit of the end of apartheid, and a number of big events were held in South Africa, particularly the Rugby World Cup, were very good for us. But from about 1998, the arrivals started to level up and start to dip. At that stage, Mohamed Bali Musa was the Minister of Environmental Affairs and Tourism, and he asked South African Tourism with the assistance of business clubs to develop a much more focused strategy about what we were going to do as an organization. Prior to that, we used to market all around the world. So we had small pots of money and we were just distributing it because us having a very clear strategy. And we were asked to develop it. So this is the basis of how we developed the marketing strategy for South African Tourism, the marketing growth strategy. The first thing we had to work out were what our goals and aspirations were. What did we want tourism to do for South Africa? Then it was working out where we should be focusing our efforts, and then what strategies do we develop in those markets so that we can make sure we win, and also to make sure that we have a staff who has the training and ability to be able to do this work globally. So in terms of working out what our goals and our aspirations were, we went back to the Tourism Act, which is very clear about what the job of South African tourism is. It's about sustainable GDP growth, sustainable job creation, and redistribution and transformation of our economy. So as an organization, we thought we said how are we going to deliver on this. And we developed six key objectives as an organization to increase tourist volume, to get more people to arrive in South Africa, to get them to spend more, to try and get them to stay longer, to try and get them to go to more provinces, and also to improve the seasonality of the arrivals, because you don't want everyone arriving at the same time, because otherwise you don't have the airlift capacity to be able to bring people in, and also the hotel beds and the ability to service. And also, of course, to promote transformation in the economy. Those are our six objectives as an organization. In order to deliver that, we have to become very focused about what we do as an organization. And in terms of being an organization that is mandated to be the marketing arm of South Africa internationally, the first thing we must do is we must understand our markets. We must understand who we're going to market to in those markets. Because with our limited resources, we need to be very focused that we are talking to people who can come to South Africa, and it's a question of just getting them to come now. We market the destination. And there's two other things that are critical for us. Is we need to facilitate the removal of obstacles. Because if we market them, it's difficult for people to come to South Africa, we're wasting a lot of money. So that's why we work very closely with the Department of Transport in terms of increasing air access to the country. We work constantly with the Department of International Relations and Home Affairs so that we can solve the visa crisis and the problems that we have in some of our countries in terms of people coming here. The next issue is about facilitating the product platform, and that's talking with the industry to make sure that we are developing the industry in a way that is going to serve the interests of the consumers that are coming to South Africa, because we understand these people better so that we can be better hosts for them. And then at the end of the process is that we monitor and learn from our experiences. So we, every year, as we do our business planning, we review how we have marketed in each market, how we can improve our efforts, and move forward in terms of reaching our goals. So if you look at our key business, which is around the international marketing, is we've got to understand the consumer. We've got to understand who they are, where they are, what do they want to do, when do they want to do it, and how they want to do it. The other side is we've got to understand which other destinations we're talking to the consumer. So we've got to understand we can't all offer the same thing. We must look at what is uniquely South African. What could be that unique thing that we're getting to come to South Africa? Because the people we are marketing against are people who can afford to go anywhere in the world. They've got a lot of choices that they can make. So we've got to make sure that they'll look at us and they'll think, no, that is the same kind of truth. And that's the kind of critical aspect about marketing. And as I said again, understanding the consumer is understanding the products in terms of investment, and then understanding the access in terms of channels. So that we make sure that for any consumer who wants to come to South Africa, it's an effortless process from when they go to their travel agent speaks to their tour operator, the travel agent and the tour operator speaks to the airline, you know, so we can make sure that it's very easy for them to come to South Africa, that they can get the information that they need to make this decision. And I'm sure the team will talk more about that, because we will show you what we're doing, particularly in countries. Now that is a critical aspect of the international tourism strategy. But what sits behind us becoming a very successful tourism destination is the domestic tourism market. The domestic tourism market is where the sustainability of your industry is. Because nothing is stronger than something like the crisis, like the global financial crisis that we're in at the moment. If you don't keep your your regional and domestic market patterns. Those are the people who see you through good times and through bad times. Also, the other aspect that's really important about it is that tourism, we believe, is everybody's business. It's something that all South Africans should enjoy, because I think it makes us all patriotic and better South Africans. Furthermore, the other aspect which is very important for the tourism sector is to make South Africans better ambassadors, so that when they are meeting people in the street, they can give people advice, they can help people things that they might miss out on, the things that they might know about, which we, as people who live in the country, would know about. So domestic tourism is for us is very important. And Pumi is going to discuss some of that with you so that you can understand what we're doing in the domestic tourism space. Okay, so that gives you the high-level picture in terms of South African tourism. The critical thing is that once you've worked this out, you've got to make the choices about where you're going to stay as a destination, because we are aware that we have limited time, limited scope, limited resources. So we need to make good choices. Because the thing about tourism, we're not working on for an industry that will have returns in 10, 15 years' time. You know, like, say, massive manufacturing projects. We want the returns in tourism to be in the short to medium term, because we need to create the jobs now in terms of South Africa. So in terms of that, we have a process where we go and we look at who are our prime customers in terms of tourism. And through this process, we looked at all the purposes of travel, because people travel for a lot of different reasons. For example, people travel for business. Their company sends them to go see another company or to do business for them, which is what we call business travel. There are people who go to attend a conference, a meeting, or an exhibition. Those people are called business tourists, and they are different from business travelers, because business travelers don't have much choice. They have to go where their company sends them to. Whereas business tourists, people who go to conferences, incentives, or exhibitions, we can market to them, because we can influence their decision to encourage them to have their conference in South Africa. So those are two of the real business-orientated reasons. The biggest source of travel globally is what falls under leisure travel. Leisure has two components. One is people going on holidays, and the others are people who are, say, that they're visiting their friends and family. And this is where the majority of global travel sits. And this is the most... Okay, I'll make it clear. That is where the most of the global travel sits. And it is the most attractive, because that is the easiest travel to influence in terms of being able to get the return. The other reasons why people travel is for events. You know, for example, something like 2010 is a great reason to get people to come to South Africa. And there are a lot of other events that one can publicize to get people to come to South Africa. Then there are much smaller reasons for people to travel. One is for religious tourism. Religious tourism is very big in particular countries that are the home of certain religions. For example, India, Hinduism, Saudi Arabia, in terms of the pilgrimage to Mecca. We are not big players in that. The big reason for religious travel in South Africa, of course, is the annual celebration of the Zion Church of Maria, which is a big reason for domestic travel. Another reason for travel is medical tourism, which has got quite a lot of publicity in the time since the medical conference was held in Johannesburg earlier this year. We spend quite a lot of time looking at medical tourism in terms of seeing what the opportunity is. The opportunity is very small. We have got some competitive advantage, as the chair pointed out, around the cost of medical tourism. But the one thing that worries us, and we can speak quite frankly about medical tourism, we are worried that it's not regulated. And we are worried about promoting something that is not regulated. We've had some quite bad experiences of there was one that I heard of recently of a visitor from Nigeria was charged $8,900. You know, yes. So it's an area that I think we need to investigate further, because I think if we're going to do something like medical tourism, the medical profession must regulate it. Because we don't want people to come down and have their own country experience. And currently, it's not a regulated area. The other thing that is also problematic is it's not regulated in the sense that a general practitioner can do a surgical process in the audience. You know, are these things that we and I'm speaking very frankly to you today, because I know this is an issue that you wanted us to address. And it's something that I think we need to think about quite carefully as a destination. If people who want to develop the medical tourism sector, I think they must be asked to regulate themselves so that there are standards and there are procedures and there are costs and stuff like that. Because I think we in South Africa, we know what the price of these trade is. We have got medical aid as a sector and who help us in this process, but foreign travelers. And I think we must be, so that's an area while we are very cautious about it. But we do understand that there is an opportunity there. So if we look at our three big areas where we focus, which is business tourism, our focus is largely international, about getting, which I'll speak about later. Then our later, we have the shortlist campaign, and then we have our international campaign, the round as possible. And then we have an event strategy that covers both domestic and international. The thing for us, in terms of starting, is that there are over 6 billion people in the world, and we've got to understand who are likely to come to South Africa. So we've got to be focused about who we are going to get. And we've developed a process of doing this, which is called the portfolio review. We're currently in the process of doing our fourth one. Every 3 years, we look at all the markets of the world again, and understand what case who's become more effective, who's become less effective. And it's a process actually of filters that you talk, you take, mainly driven by statistics. The first filter is density. We have to go into markets that have more than 2 million people. And in terms of Africa, we have to go to markets where we've got at least 4 million people living in urban areas, because markets in rural areas are very hard. And in emerging markets, the levels of poverty in rural areas makes it very hard to travel along the distance that they have South Africa. The second focus, we look at where the outbound volume value is, and then we get a fit together of our global markets, and then we look at how attractive they are in the short and the long term, and then we put a cost benefit analysis. So if you look, this is what comes out of the first filter. These are the countries that in the first filter. But if you go to the next round, which is about looking at where the top 40 outbound markets of the world, so these are the people who are already traveling. People are already traveling, it's much easier to get into South Africa. And because we are in outside continental Africa, we are a long-haul market. That means it takes more than 5 hours flying time. We have to look at where people are who do longer travel already. And you can see the United States is the biggest long-haul market in the world. But it's 64% of the trips that are taken outside the United States are long-haul. Then it's the UK, Japan, Sweden, Malaysia, Canada, etc. I won't go through it because it's in the past for you. So this starts telling us where we need to be focused on. Then we look at where the value is in terms of the money. And you can see the red countries are the countries that are long-haul countries, and they are countries with value. Because you just remember, we want to increase foreign exchange coming into the country. So we want people with money who are prepared to spend and use their money in South Africa, because that is very critical for us. So then we start understanding where the value is, and then we put it together, and you can see where the volume and the value sit. In the outbound markets of non-continental Africa. In terms of Africa, we look at where these are the air markets that have got more than 5 million people living in, 4 million people living in urban areas. And then we take in all our land markets, because our land markets have got very easy access, and it's a very easy place for people to come and visit. challenge for us to find new reasons for them to come to Jesus. Because most of these people come, you know, 40, 50 times a year. So we've got to find new reasons for them to come. And that's why events are very important for us. So once we've got that list, the third filter is what we look at, what the short-term and the long-term outlook for these countries are, in terms of understanding, you know, how the economy is, what the inflation rate is, how high the unemployment, the value of the outbound. So we do a lot of research so that we can understand where the value is. And this is basically how the markets filter out again, when you've got the short-term and the long-term value. We get to the last phase, which is understanding what the effort is against the gain. Because in every market there's a cost of marketing, so we need to understand how to cook. And then the other aspect is looking at what the benefit is for us, so that we put the two against each other in terms of understanding how we should invest in these markets. Through this process, we work out, we put the markets of the world into four buckets. One is the attractive and easy markets. These are the big volume value markets. And we call these our core markets. This is where we are going to get most of our returns from. And this is where we put 60% of the organization's effort, so that we can make sure that we get the maximum returns from these markets. The next set of markets are attractive markets, but they are a lot more difficult for us. For example, they might be very far away, they might not be airlift. For example, at the moment for us, China is a very attractive market, but it's a very difficult market. We've got no direct airlift in there. There are a lot of barriers, there's issues around visas, there's a whole lot of issues, but it's a very important market for the future. So therefore it's very important that we invest and we invest going forward, and that's where we put 20% of our organization's effort into those markets. Because these are the markets of the future. Then there are tactical markets that are attractive, but they're less attractive than the traditional markets. And this is where we put 5 to 15% of our effort. And then there are watch list markets that are less attractive, but they're a bit more difficult to do. So we do we choose the involvement that we have in those markets. These are typically markets we wouldn't put an office in. We would do things largely through our colleagues in the industry. We have a very strong relationship with the Department of International Relations in a lot of the industries where we don't have offices. From this is where basically we get the portfolio of South African tourism. It's very important for us to be able to be very transparent about where we market, because we need to work with our colleagues in international relations, we need to work with our colleagues in the DPI, and so it's very important that they understand where we go and how we can assist each other, and also it's very important for our relationship with the industry, so it's quite transparent about where we are investing. I won't go through the whole list, I'll just leave that there. But I think what's important is that 55% of our arrivals and 61% of our spend come from those core markets. So these are the places where we must focus, because that's where the returns are now. Once we know who our markets are, that's when we start putting our resources in. We do a lot more research in those markets so we can understand which consumers we must be focused on. This is an example of what we call segmentation that we did in the United States. Where we've seen phenomenal growth in this market once we knew who to focus on and focus quite clearly on those two segments. In terms of business tourism, which is our second area of involvement, I'm not going to talk a lot about it because Nomafonso is going to speak about it. But in terms of what it used to call the mass market, but it's now moving towards being called the business tourism market, it combines exhibitions, conferences, and meetings. So in terms of our focus is on the meetings, and on particularly three sets of meetings, is the governmental meetings, corporate meetings, and association meetings. Because this is the area where we can get large groups of people to come to South Africa with a lot of marketing efforts. In terms of event tourism, we focus on sports, culture, and lifestyle, in terms of getting people, providing new reasons for people to come to South Africa. This is very important to us in terms of our neighboring SADC countries. The sports codes that we focus on primarily are soccer, rugby, and cricket, and golf. We can't go into every single sporting code. It's just too many of this. So that is what I've presented in terms of the introduction to South African tourism, so that you've got a broader picture of it. Rasheena is now going to give you a detailed look at what our marketing looks like.
Good morning, everyone. I know there's been a lot of talking, and I apologize up front. But you know, the one thing we say is that if we don't know where we are going, we're never going to know how to get there. And it is important that we actually put up where we're going. And at the end of the day, the chairperson of the committee has put down very clearly what the mandate of our government is. And as a parastatal, we've got to make sure we're meeting this mandate. And we have limited resources, limited people, and a limited opportunity in the world to reach it. So we try our best shot at making sure that we do create the jobs that we want to, but more importantly, that we contribute to GDP, because that's what foreigners bring into the country. Didi has already explained a lot of the strategy, but just to tell you that when we're marketing and we're looking out there at the world, we as South African Tourism are responsible for the marketing and branding of the country. We don't manage the whole value chain of what the tourist experience is. That is really the delivery side of tourism sits with the product offering, and it also sits with the provinces and the towns and cities that you referred to earlier, Mr. May. And it's important for us to look at how all these fit together. So while we are responsible for the marketing, we've got to make sure that we work on the portfolio that we just told you about, but that we create the awareness, and when people come into the country, we want them to have the experience where they're going to talk about it and where they are going to return and use word of mouth to actually get other people to come here, because we've got to deliver on the promise that we put out there. And the choices that we make are the ones that Didi spoke about. There are also choices that various companies make depending on how their business is going. And it's important that we work with the tourism sector in this. You've already seen that one. Now, in terms of growth, we were still in 2008, we closed the year on growth of about 4.5%. But right now, our country is suffering. We are feeling what the global economic crisis has done to tourism. These are the results up to May, because we have just got the June results as well. And up to May, we've had a growth of 0.8%. And that is largely driven by the growth we've had in Africa, which is 4.6% up. But if you look at every other region in the world, we've had a decline. So if you look at Europe, it's 12.9% down between January to May compared to last year. If you look at North America, it's 12.4% down. That's on the map of the world in front of you there, and this is the same information, but on a graph showing you 2008 to 2009. And it's 2008 that is in green, and you can see where there's been a decline and where we have managed to hold. Sorry, 2008 in green and 2009 in yellow. So the picture that this is showing us is not a great picture. we've completed our work in looking at the spend for 2009, we believe that we will still meet the target on that. But there's always some good news or the bad news is that all other countries are facing the same problem. So Australia, which is our biggest competitor, had a decline of 1.25% in the same period that we've had a decline of 0.8%. We always benchmark ourselves against our competitors, in Australia in particular, because we tend to go after the same kind of tourists, being a long-haul destination. And if every country in the world is suffering in the same way and is finding that they are declining in terms of arrivals, how can we make sure that we still win in these markets? And that's the point that Didi was making, is how do we make sure that we position South Africa in a way that people still want to come here? So we have a vision statement which is based on our brand as a country. And when the chairperson talks about alignment, the alignment is really around the messaging that we go after. How do we position the country? What you have in front of you is a booklet that we recently produced called Be Inspired. That booklet goes into a lot more information and detail on the messaging that I'm going to talk about now. Because in the brand, we said there are three areas that we own as a country. And these are the areas that we must market most aggressively. The first is the diversity. I'll explain a bit more. And then the possibilities in South Africa that people have not expected, the unexpected about the country. And the most important probably is our people, which we see projected in the spirit of Ubuntu. And this is all for South Africa, this is what we own, and this is what we promote as a country. So we want to make sure that when people come here, they have life-changing experiences, and they have a breakaway that is a breakthrough for them, whether they're coming for leisure, business, or for events. To put that in another way, it is because of our unique combination of the people, place, and culture that we have that we're able to then market our country as a unique destination. And this is what gives us our authenticity as South Africa. Now, normally as a marketing person, I would not be sitting here and talking with you. I would be showing you the audiovisual and the material, and I hope that there will be an opportunity to do that because marketing is about what the consumer sees, not what I say and what's written on paper. So I would have liked to show you a bit more about what does the consumer see about it. So when I say diversity, or when I say Ubuntu, what is the consumer seeing? And that's what is in our marketing work. And that's what we test ourselves on. So going again into trying to speak the messaging, we've identified this chart to say, when we speak Ubuntu and people, what are we talking about? And on the chart, we look at the embracing nature of the country, the camaraderie that we have as a nation, our hospitality and inclusiveness, the welcoming, engaging way about us, the close encounters that you can have, the community caring tourism part of our work, the way that we make sure tourism benefits people, the various different examples we have in this country of how we have used tourism in the agenda of transformation. And if we have to then look at the issues of possibility and place, we would be emphasizing the world-class nature of South Africa, the discovery and the untouched places we have, the transfrontier parks, which are a huge innovation in the way we have developed our parks compared to other countries. The fact that we have an urban vibe and we have affordable and pampering luxuries. Because when people are traveling, they're looking for affordability. And those are the areas then that we would then emphasize in our marketing work. So whenever you see a piece of our work, this is what comes out of it. And when Didi said we go into segmentation, we look at the consumer needs and we're basing this message on the consumer needs. It just goes on a little bit more in detail on how we say this in consumer language. So in Ubuntu, it's the people that make the holiday. If they support me, engage me, and show me their world, I feel welcome. These are some of the images that we use in our marketing. This is the office in Makoland, which I understand right now is fully in bloom and looks like it. If you had to look very carefully, you'd see that there are people in that picture with some vehicles, and this is what happens in South Africa, and this is one of the wondrous things in South Africa, that the desert can suddenly become a carpet of flowers, part of the diversity that we are selling. This is another one of our images that we use of the Zeder River Canyon. I, of course, cannot show you all of them, but these are examples of what goes out in our marketing material, because this shows the messaging that we're putting out there. And then, of course, we can't forget that the biggest opportunity to hit us in our lifetime as South Africans since 1994, I think, is the 2010 World Cup, and a lot of our marketing is based on that. I think this committee has already been exposed to the marketing work on 2010. And we're using that a lot to show the welcoming nature. This is another way where we show wildlife in a slightly different way, because we've got to differentiate ourselves from, okay, what about wildlife somewhere else? And this is us, this is not Australia. And this is authentic experience, it's not a Disneyland experience. So these are the sorts of images that we go out with. That one can't be very clearly, but it's more used in business tourism, where we show business unusual, because you can be outdoors in your business deals. Now, somewhere in the business tourist area. I've said a little bit about the messaging. I also think that Dee spoken to you about how we choose the segments that we talk to, and this is also telling you that we have an audience, and we base our marketing on the consumer rather than on the product. So we don't go out there saying, we've got the Kruger and we need to sell the Kruger. We go out there saying, what is the consumer looking for? They're looking for a wildlife experience with a difference. They want the close encounter, they want the affordable accommodation, and they want a bit of feeling that this is only for me. So we work on that, we don't work on the front. And therefore, our marketing is not about, are we marketing Cape Town or are we marketing Durban? We're actually marketing the experience. So the provinces need to be able to package the experiences according to the consumer needs, and our job is to market. So the kind of traveler that you're going after is someone who is well-traveled and they are worldly. And I'm talking now outside of our immediate neighbors. We are talking to people who have traveled around the world. They are global citizens. They need a big reason to come to South Africa rather than go to Brazil. And it's important for us to give them the big reason to travel. Hence, we work on the areas that are our strengths, the ones that we are known for. Because when a consumer is sitting at home planning their holiday, they've got five or six different choices. And they're going to make their choice depending on which one is most attractive to them. Our job is to make sure that when they are looking for the information, we are there and they find us, whether it's online or whether it's in a brochure or whatever. And our job is to make sure that the trade who is selling to them sells South Africa. So that's where we do quite a lot of our work. This is all the platforms across which we work. So we've got consumer platforms and we've got trade platforms. I'm sorry that the slide is so small, but each one of these we can put a tick to. Because if you ask, so where are you? We're on TV, we're on print, we're on outdoor, we're an airline. In terms of global media platform, we've got deals with CNN, BBC, Eurosport, News Corp, which covers ESPN, Fox, Sky News. We are on national TV here in South Africa. We are on National Geographic. We are on CNBC in print. In terms of events, we are certain events where we have used as a springboard for marketing. This is not the full list, but the Jazz Festival, Makufe, the Comet Marathon, and we've got a toolkit generally around events which we activate whenever we've got an event. We've got a PR program. And then we've got quite a extensive digital platform, because we realize that the kind of person we're going after uses the net a lot to look for information and to compare different destinations. So we've used the net because we want to make sure that we are where people want us. So we're in the social media platform as well as our own platform, which is South Africa.net. Then in terms of trade, We have a program called Fundi. Fundi is a program that we use to train to sell South Africa. We do it within South Africa and it is outside South Africa. The idea of Fundi is to get people to be experts on selling in South Africa. And we do a lot of this work through workshops as well as an online training program that people can graduate from. So they become Fundi graduates, and part of it is we bring them into South Africa so they can experience the destination as well. And we have a number of trade shows which take place outside South Africa and within South Africa, and these are important places where we meet the trade. These are Indaba, Meetings Africa, ITB, IMEX, etc. And at the bottom there we've put South African products because we work a lot with South African products to make sure that there is alignment. And when I say products, I'm also referring to provinces. It's alignment around what we are selling and how we go out there together. Our main idea that we've been working on in selling South Africa is come and create your South African story. The reason for this is that word of mouth is a very important way in which people find out about the destination. You know that if you wanted to go to Eastern Cape for a weekend, you probably ask somebody who went there or you hear from somebody who's been there about a place to go to, and that would influence your decision. And so we've used that idea in our marketing work. And through all the international platforms that we use, we've taken both South Africans and international people as ambassadors and used their stories to create programs on these different channels. And within that, we've positioned South Africa both around as an event and a leisure destination. So for example, on BBC, we've got a little clip about our former president, Nelson Mandela, inviting people to South Africa for 2010. We've got a clip about Ken Simon, who is from Stone Cherry, showing her fashion work, because it's the idea of fashion. We've got a chef from Frederick Rubin, who is talking about food in South Africa. So we've used different people's stories to show the experience of South Africa to others and to invite people to join us. The main reason for using word of mouth, and this comes from our research, and it's not very clear there, but if you look at this, before people come to South Africa, all the red states say that we don't score very well on perceptions about South Africa. So people do see us as breathtaking and adventurous, but they don't see us as fun or relaxing. They do see us as a natural wildlife experience, but they don't see us as friendly or welcoming. I know we found that very hard to know, because, you know, we are such friendly people. Why don't they see us as that? But they don't. And they don't see us as offering history and culture. We score very poorly on safety and security and on value for money. But after they have visited South Africa and we meet them at the airport and we get their views about South Africa, we come up well on everything, we even do better on safety and security. And this shows you the power of word of mouth, because if people come here and have a great experience, they become the marketers for the country. And we can't meet every single person that's here, but the products, the provinces, people who own the rest of the products here in South Africa do meet everyone. The experience here at the customs line, or when you are, you know, coming through the airport, all those experiences have an effect on how you feel about the country. So there's a lot of work that we try to do with our colleagues in other organizations to just make sure that the experience is a good one, but we don't own it as South African tourism. We can just market it. I'm just going to show you a little bit more of the pitch of work that we do with globally. This is CNN, where I've explained we've used certain people to promote the country, and we've got online work where we ask people to share their stories with us and their pictures of South Africa. BBC, this is the work that we've been doing there. We've asked viewers of BBC to vote for their favorite experience of South Africa, and we've had 8 of these, what we call journeys. And we had whale watching, safari experience, shark diving, Johannesburg nightlife, garden route, Nelspruit, biking and hiking in all parts of South Africa. And we found that people actually chose the walking safari, the whale watching, and the garden route, and we've added luxury as new ones to that program. Then on National Geographic, we've run 60-second ads on different places like the Kalahari, St. Lucia, Kalicha, etc., where we are showing different aspects of South African life, the slice of South African life, and it's part of showing our diversity, and especially trying to get some of the more rural areas into this program, because when you look at National Geographic, it falls very much within our target market. People who watch National Geographic are the kinds of people that want to come to a destination like South Africa. Because South Africa is not for everybody. It's not a resort destination like Mauritius. It's a destination where, I always say, we're a bit edgy. Okay? We're not for every single person. We're the kind of destination where you want an adventure. You want something outside your life. Okay? And so when you look at the programs we've got on National Geographic, it promotes other parts of the country. But we've also promoted the Johannesburg nightlife, because they like that too. On Eurosport, Eurosport we chose specifically for 2010. And a lot of people ask me now, like, what are you doing for 2010? And I know that I sound really facetious because I say to them, sorry, but we started that a long time ago, and right now our job is still beyond 2010. And it's true. Because if you're not in the market now, in terms of the work that we do for marketing the country, you might as well forget that it's too late to now start the campaign for 2010. And we have been in the market for the last 2 years. We've intensified it from April this year. So we've used programs like Eurosport to do that, and a lot of our work on Eurosport has been also editorial with key people speaking on the program, which we call Business Class. And News Corp is another one which has a reach in countries that we are not in. So the important thing about News Corp is that it reaches almost the whole of South America. It reaches through Fox TV. It reaches almost the whole of Asia through ESPN. And then we're reaching quite a lot of people through Sky News and Sky Sports. And it's a very credible channel as well for getting our message across. And we use them specifically for 2010. And I said earlier that we do a lot of online work. This is just a shot of our website. And the way that our website works, when you land on it, there's a map. And on the drop down on the side there is different activities that you may be after. So some interest that you are after. So if you are after adventure and you clicked on adventure, it will tell you where in South Africa you can find it. And then you're able to go onto the map, find the place, find the information about it. We're still building some of the work because we're trying to get this as broad, covering the entire country as possible. But we struggle too, because there are some parts of the country that are not marketing what they're really strong at, so that we can get this out there. Because we know that the person we are after wants to travel around the country. They don't want to just go to Cape Town. They want to go all over. And we've got to provide for them where else they can go. So if there is a product in the Free State, for example, there has to be accommodation. It has to be possible to get there. That's the work where we rely on the provinces to make sure. We're very happy to market it because people are looking for it. I spoke a bit about the social media. We've got our own YouTube channel. If you go on YouTube, there's a branded South Africa channel that belongs to us, and all our work gets loaded onto that channel. We also have a virtual tour. I remember reading somewhere that people want to know, if I'm going to go there, what's it going to look like? So if I'm going to put you into this hotel, what is the room going to look like? Now, we have that on our website. Not every hotel, but we have tours that you can do, and you can go and see the virtual tour so that you can experience it from your room. But then we want you to come here and not just experience it from wherever you're sitting in the world. This is some of the work we do in business tourism, both on the trade shows as well as print work that we do. And this is the work that we drew on events. This was at the Vodacom Challenge. And for the Euro 2008, that is the overhead lockers that we branded on every plane that was coming in to Euro 2008. They could see South Africa. And this is what I mean about you can't wait and start marketing 2010 now. You have to use the opportunities that were available. And then the work we did on the jazz as well as our international show. Then we haven't forgotten about the product within South Africa. We have a department that looks at product, and we're specifically looking at small, medium enterprise. I don't know if you know, but we run an ITEA award. It's the Emerging Tourism Entrepreneur of the Year award. Colin, who's sitting there on that advert in front of you, was the winner last year. He's from Nyoni's Kraal, which is a restaurant here in Cape Town. And this year we had a winner from KwaZulu-Natal who runs the tour operating business. Nyeleti, whose picture you can't see very clearly at the bottom there, was the winner the previous year. She was running a B&B in Limpopo. It's now a very big conference center. And I think that just shows you that working with emerging operators through this program, we've managed to work with people so that they're now becoming bigger. And it's very important for us that there is a sustainability to this. So we have an agreement with the SAB, South African Breweries, to do their Kickstart program, which is a training program that they do for new businesses and to help businesses to stay afloat. So we have a 5-year program on ITEA. Then we also do something else. That trophy that's on the picture is the Welcome Award. The Welcome Award is for those products that give really good service and experience delivery. And this is in its 3rd year of running. It's very popular now in the industry. It took some time for people to recognize it. And when we have Indaba every year, which we do in May, Indaba is like the flagship of tourism, we do these awards, the Welcome Awards and the ITEA Awards. And I hope that next year we will see everyone from this committee at Indaba 2010. It's going to be huge. It's going to be big. It's going to be in Durban. It's going to be the most important place to be before the World Cup. It takes place on the 9th of May 2010, but we will invite you. This year, unfortunately for us, but fortunately for the country, Indaba was the same day as the inauguration, so we missed having the people that we would normally have had from the committee today. Now, in terms of our country, this is the work that we do in South Africa on the Short Left campaign, and Pumi will talk a little bit more about that. We've worked with some young people in South Africa to help us promote the country. That's our work in Kenya. That's our work in Nigeria. In SADC, we did campaigns at the border post to try and get our border officials on board. Well, we always do this. That's the Welcome campaign. We do. Then in America, this is our work in the UK, where we focused a lot on the idea of food. And then we had the World Travel Market with a 2010 focus. In the USA, we work on our main idea there is on adventure. And we worked with people who are true adventurers, and they are the Adventure of the Year Award that we were involved in, as well as Colin Cowie, who is a kind of lifestyle writer and chef. In Australia, this is the work that we've done. Quite a lot of our work has also been on Ubuntu Awards that we've done there, and trade workshops, as well as cinema activation. This is our work in China. In China, we work a lot with the trade, and you know, in China, there's this company called C-Trip. They're actually quite amazing, because in China, when they tell you we had 1 million people that came online for the South Africa promotion. You know, it just means so much to us. But 1 million in China doesn't mean that much to them. But you just get numbers. So in China, it's all about the numbers. We've brought a lot of people and hosted them in South Africa. This is our work in India. In India, we've done a fantastic partnership both online and on TV using word of mouth. and we've done a billboard campaign. So what you can see in the corner there is South Africa billboards that were in India for about 3 months. In Japan, this is the work we've done. We focused a lot there on the flowers and the experience because that's what the Japanese like. But we also have been very active on 2010 because since the Japanese team qualified, there's a lot of interest, although we don't have the flights to bring them here. If we can do something about that, I think more of them would come. Then in Europe, this is the work in France. You can see that it becomes very oriented towards the French, all in French, working on what the consumers want there. Germany, we've got a story campaign that's running. You can see Zakuni was our visitor at the ICT we had in Germany and the soccer activation there. Italy, we do a lot of outdoor work. We've hosted many Italians who've gone back to become storytellers for us. Lots of work with the trade. The workshops are there. The Netherlands, we also do a lot of work with the trade. A lot of this is the brochures that sell South Africa, and we have a very nice online campaign called Ride of Your Life. You know, in the Netherlands, everybody rides a bicycle. So we use the bicycle to run our campaign. Okay. That actually is the end of me on the marketing side, and I'm now going to hand over, to Pumi. Pumi's going to deal with just the Africa, and then we've got Sonto talking about business tourism.
Time now is 10 past 11. Could we have 5 minutes from quarter to 12 to half past 1? Time for the election members, where for clarification and then for better questions. Please, if it is possible. We have to answer.
Honourable Chair and the members of the committee, I'm just going to take you through very quickly the summary of the domestic campaign. This is the campaign that started way back in 2000 and about 6 years ago, with the aim of making sure that we have a proper way in which we could communicate with the market within South Africa. Why is it important for people to travel domestically? Because there is a significant value that it provides to the South African economy. As much as we have a contribution from the international tourists, the people who travel within the country also do provide a significant growth and contribution. Also, it has an untapped value, which means there is a huge potential of growth. We do see that currently a lot of people visit friends and relatives. But there is a possibility that we can convert those people to actually take leisure activities and be able to be tourists within their own country. Obviously, it is a base for the international market. We want to increase, obviously, the objective that we have in this market is to increase the expenditure through promoting more leisure trips and encouraging people to travel as well as length of stay. We don't want people to be traveling for the traditional reasons that they used to travel for. We want people to be able to feed in the different establishments, to be able to, during low season, to make sure that if the establishments are empty, they are able to keep them busy at a particular point in time when you're not getting people from overseas. And also, you know, that helps, obviously, as I said, with the seasonality, which is what I explained earlier on. And also, we want to make sure that people do not go to one and the same province, and they do go and explore the different types of provinces that and the experiences, as Roshin has already alluded to them, that we would not necessarily highlight specific provinces, but it's more about the experiences that the consumers can be able to experiment in the different provinces, as well as obviously to increase volume. Now, there is a strategy that was developed for government by South African Tourism working within the overall Tourism Act. What is the role, obviously, of domestic? Within the strategy we've looked at, number one, it's a greater promotion of the tourism brand. This is where we want to create a culture among all South Africans through marketing traveling as sexy. So, in essence, what we want to do here is we want to ensure that there is a culture of travel that is created within the domestic market. As I've mentioned, that people naturally travel, but the reason for travel will vary from anything to visiting friends and relatives, and also looking at specific periods for pilgrimages and things like that. But we just want people to be able to take short breaks more often, hence the creation of the short rest brand. Promote a set of experiences that relate to the consumer. This is a valuable thing, as what Rashida said, where we look at consumers and say what are the type of experiences that they desire. Taking those types of experiences, then we then create them and make sure that they are accessible to the consumers. Distribute the appropriate information in specific areas. We do spend a lot of time doing research in establishing what are the main things that people are looking for, and we do take that information and ensure, and I will demonstrate later in the presentation, that that information is put in specific areas that will encourage people to be able to travel in the country. So we use this, making use of both traditional and non-traditional media, and this will be demonstrated as I go through the presentation. And then obviously the cooperation between product information. So we can't on our own be able to do this, because as arts and tourism, we do create demand. But the product owners, together with the provincial authorities and the different cities, then would have to fulfill that particular demand by ensuring that once the experiences have been exposed and when people get there, they deliver on the promise that has been done. And then the development of the distribution channel, I would also share with you the breakthrough that we've managed to have in terms of making sure that the travel information is accessible in distribution channels that the people can be able to access. And then finally, as part of the strategy, is going to promote repeat visitation. We don't want people, once they've gone, to think, okay, I've done this, then this is it, I'm only going to take one. We want people to be able to take holidays more often during the course of the year. As I said, Shogun started 6 years ago, and this is the program that was started to mainly look at domestic travel. And as many of you might or might not know, shortlist is an instruction, originally an instruction given by the passenger to say, I will be getting on to the next shortlist, which is the next stop. So all we want people is to actually go around the corner and take a holiday, so which means taking holidays more often. And also, we also look at our processes, which we've gone through earlier, that it is important that we refocus this program and look at specifically who are we going to speak to. Because with the shortlist program, this is one thing I'd like to highlight, that we're not talking to everybody, but we are talking to a specific segment where we are going to extract more value and where we know that we are going to be able to create the culture of travel. Then there is a role that is played by our colleagues as well as product partners to look at other segments and make sure that they deliver on the promise as mentioned, and also market directly to them. But we're doing a much bigger job in terms of looking at the young and upcoming, creating a culture of travel, and then being able to ensure that there is conversion that is done, because that is more sustainable, and this is the future of tomorrow. And this segment is pretty large. If you look at it, it accounts for about 5.1 million people. Also, from a strategic direction, this is what we've done, is our objective, we want to build a leisure destination. The barriers that we have is there's no cultural travel and there's a lack of information in terms of where people should go. And this is one thing that we're trying very hard to eliminate, because people do say we do want to travel but we don't know which areas we should be going into. So what we want to do is we want to credibly communicate the benefits of travel and the fact that it is affordable, it's accessible, and make that emotional connection with the consumer through doing that. Because a lot of people think traveling in South Africa, I'd rather go maybe to London because it's cheaper, but not knowing that actually it's even more cheaper to travel. It's just that they don't know where to find that information, and it is the main objective of this program to ensure that we're able to provide that kind of information. Then the idea is find a friend, because this particular segment travels with friends, and this makes it also quite easy for them, because they put money together, and as they travel with friends, then it's easier for them to be able to afford different experiences, because they will plan together and make sure that they put their money together. And they are able also to share the different experiences, and it is maybe taking their usual situation to another place, and they don't necessarily feel lonely whilst they're doing it. And then obviously we look at different channels, which will be TV, print, radio, digital, and a whole lot of others, which I'm going to be quickly sharing with you. And we do a research on annual basis. I'm just going to quickly cover this, but all this information is contained in your pack. And we're 46.5 South Africans are allowed to travel each year, and then they take 2.4 trips per annum. And then the travelers, a total of 33 million trips in 2008 and 9.6 million in 2007. They spent 25.8 billion compared to the 74 that are spent by 25 foreign tourists. So in essence, you can see that there is a significant contribution that this particular market is making. One of the main things that I would highlight is the fact that even though the number of trips has decreased last year, but the people that have traveled traveled more often and they have spent more money. But the number of trips compared to what we had in 2007, there has been a decrease in that. Now, we're not too worried about this because now when people are traveling, they're understanding that they have to spend money, and if the spend is increasing, then obviously there is more contribution towards the GDP and more contribution, obviously, towards making sure that the jobs are created and within and sustainability in those industries and those places that they go to. Let me just quickly share with you a few examples of our shortlist campaign. What I've done is I took the strategy in terms of government, what we're doing, and then look at what are the different activities that we've done within that. One of the main things that Roisin alluded to earlier was the fact that storytelling is one of the things that we've adopted because we know the power of word of mouth. And this is not only visible internationally, we are seeing it also within the domestic arena. So what we've done is we've taken people who are representative of the different young people and in the different provinces, and they traveled all around the country. What they then did is they were shot all these experiences and repeated these experiences in terms of 2 minutes as well as 1 minute commercials. And what we know is the young and upcoming are able to relate more to things that they see other people doing. We did not take celebrities, we took ordinary people, and they did free of charge because they also saw it as an opportunity. Now, these are the people that are then able to talk to their peers and then explain to them the different experiences, and in that way, they're then encouraging them to explore the country. We've got these experiences that are shown on the 51, 2, 3, as well as ETV. And then also we do travel features on the last of Radio Metro Kaya FM and then promoting all these different experiences. What we're doing there is we're now getting these young people to say, talk about what did they do when they took a shot there. We've extended this further away. We're now getting the radio DJs to talk about their experiences and how they're taking a shot left, because this is quite critical in enabling them to have some form of frame of reference on what they should do when they travel. Also, in terms of promotion, the set of experiences, we saw that that worked very successfully, but now that's not all that we needed to do. We had to ensure that these experiences are available. So we partnered with the National Pyramid, Kulula Pumbi Ticket Flight Center, Forever Resorts, and then we looked at promoting City Break, Beach, Mountain Escape, and different types of experiences. Because people are saying, okay, now, well and good, we've seen all these things, that all these wonderful things that people have done, but then how do you explore them? If you see this in an example, for instance, where you can go to for a weekend with your friends, it only costs you $799. This is where in which it has become extremely affordable to actually travel, and we are demonstrating this. And we've gone to channels that are able to speak directly to the particular target audience, and then also speak to people throughout the country as well. Also, the distribution of information in specific areas is one of the critical things, because people are crying out and saying that we don't know where to find the information of travel. Now, what we've done is we've looked at taxi television, social TV, Mango TV, and also we've got product placement on basic like ETV and TV Plus. Also, we've looked at different teaser campaigns there. What we're trying to do here is to make sure that the travel information is distributed almost in each and every single area. The most important thing, which is a breakthrough for us, is if one goes to a shop and check out, you will be able to get travel information available there. And it will also will have packages that are provided. So you can buy a grocery. So it's a matter of now going over the country, over the counter, and you'll be able to get travel information. And that's how accessible it has been. We're in discussion with other distributors as well to make sure that that happens. The development of cooperatives as well as packaging of products, I've already alluded to that. We're working with provincial authorities, packaging the products, and then making sure that it is distributed through the relevant channels. The distribution channels also, I've already spoken about Shopify checkers, and also one of the things that we're doing is created a website that performs very well. The statistics that I've received yesterday indicated that the majority of South Africans are finding information through the internet. But the access of the internet is no longer through sitting behind the computer. People are using their cell phones to access that information. This is what this, our site was launched at the beginning of this year, the performing expression of the world, and it is evidence that people do go to these type of channels looking for information for travel, and they share their experiences as well. And then this is not only linked to this, we link to YouTube, we link to a whole lot of other spaces as well. Obviously, we want to make sure that people visit more often, and we've got ways in which to do that, where we provide constant deals, and then make sure that we talk to, they share these experiences, making use of Twitter as well as YouTube. Now, I'm not going to go through this, but this is information that you have in your information pack. But all this is the different activities that we'll be running through all the way from April to March next year for ShopLift, where it's happening. But it involves events that you get involved in, where we do deal-driven campaigns, and who the partners are, how we're promoting this, and the different types of activities that will be happening. And also now we're trying to mark what are the different activities that we'd be involved in and the different partners. But this is mainly a demonstration that it is not what we do on our own. It is the involvement of the private sector and the involvement of the provinces, and that is why we are able to produce the type of program that we produce. Thank you very much.
Is there any other presenter?
Good morning, everybody. I will take you very quickly on business tourism. Just to give a bit of background, business tourism is really about trip, which is about attending a conference, international exhibition, as Jimmy said earlier. And I'm sure all of us here have been part of that kind of a business tourism trip in our lives, in the same. This market we see is quite attractive, globally estimated at over $100 billion US dollars. For South Africa, it's a growing area, contributing about 7% to our foreign arrivals, but it's seen a very good growth in 2008, 20% over 2007. In terms of spend, it's very attractive because these people actually spend when they come on a business project. We're currently estimating about 5,600 rand that they spend in South Africa, and that excludes any other cost that they would have spent getting into this destination. Our challenge is that as Africa, if we look globally, we're still a relatively small player, accounting for about 3 to 5% in terms of market share. However, the bulk of that is actually meetings that are held in South Africa. South Africa records 43% of meetings that are held in Africa. So we're a very, very big player within the African context. The market can be divided into three segments, what we call associations or academic meetings, intergovernmental meetings, and corporate conferences. Our role within this area is to work with the international organizations that are trying to bring meetings into the destination. We need to make sure that they choose South Africa as their destination for the meeting. And there's a process that you go through, which is a whole bidding process, so it's not automatic. What we've also realized was that whilst we're doing this work internationally, we also have to try and find a platform that is going to allow us to quickly grow this market. And we have identified Meetings Africa as a platform which allows us to showcase what we have to offer as South Africans in terms of the business tourism products, and also try and grow the sector and work with the domestic industry to say, we're doing this internationally, you need to make sure that you can actually meet the needs of the international travelers. I'm not going to go through the slide. part of what has been discussed before. But really, is to really say where do we focus in terms of the segment, in terms of order of priority. Association is the one area we focus on quite strongly. And here, these are meetings that are very deliberate, because an association has to meet annually. And these guys, with or without the recession, they will meet, because they've got constitutions which allow them to actually meet, and their meeting rotates. So if they have been to a country this year, it takes them another 15 years to come back to that country. So we need to be on that rotation list. So we target new people. The second segment is intergovernmental meetings. This is really how we try to really work within the African space and get a lot of these meetings to come to South Africa. So we target here and the self-government institutions, usually with the within multiracial or regional organizations. So this is an area that we focus on as well. And the third segment is corporate meetings and incentives. Because corporates also meet, it's not as deliberate as associations, but they meet. And we need to try and get them to South Africa. And South African companies that are doing business internationally, we target those. We target companies that have got a significant investment in South Africa, because they're already here. We just need to encourage them to bring the incentives here. And what you find is that things like in 2010, companies would normally take advantage of them and bring their staff as part of the incentive program. And let me just take you through what Meetings Africa is, because we find this, we've identified it as a lever to grow business tourism into South Africa. First launched in 2003, renamed in 2005. We bought this property in 2007 to say if we can actively use this show as a deliberate tactic to grow business tourism, there is a lot that can be done. And we've seen successes in terms of South African Tourism Board in Indaba a long time ago, and we've seen how it's actually benefited the leisure industry. Primary objective is to really promote South Africa as a premier business tourism destination in terms of the inbound market. We've got support from Gauteng Tourism, Johannesburg Tourism Company, and the Sandton Convention Center, who have come in as partners to the show. We target local corporate and government departments, the event or meeting organizers, and we also target international meeting buyers. We actually host them and invite them to come to South Africa as buyers to come and experience what South Africa has to offer. They attend the exhibition, then they go on a post tour that we organize to say what is South Africa as a business tourism destination. It allows for visitors to gain maximum value on how they can be assisted by the meetings industry to plan, execute, and deliver exceptional and unique meetings in South Africa. I've spoken about the hosted buyer program. It is currently being supported by the DTI, which is quite good for us. We normally invite over 100 planners, meeting buyers, to come to Meetings Africa. We also have networking opportunities within this program and educational seminars, which are always open to the exhibitors, the visitors, and buyers as well. This show runs over 2.5 days at the end of February. This coming year is going to be on the 24th to the 26th of February at the Sandton Convention Center. Just my last slide, I just wanted to share with you in terms of what's coming, some of the things that we've been working with a different partner, some of the stuff that has been recorded by the other big venues in South Africa in terms of what's coming. Obviously, our key focus in business tourism wouldn't necessarily be to attract meetings for next month or for next year. We try to look at the long-term horizon in terms of what's coming. Particularly when we work with associations, they book their meetings, you know, 2 to 3 years in advance. So you can already see that there's quite a good lineup of stuff coming, and this is just a snippet of some of the conferences that are lined up in terms of speech that have been won for South Africa. But I'm not going to take you to that because it's got its own effect. But in a nutshell, that is business tourism.
Okay, thank you very much for a wonderful really, we thank you. You have done a lot. And it was a great presentation. But the great presentations do not always have substance. Let us examine the substance there and the way forward. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm here to from this wonderful presentation. But members will examine the substance of the presentation. But just before we continue, let us go for about 3 to 5 minutes, grab a cup of tea and come back. And do that. Thank you very much once more. Around political capitals as well. The India, Brazil, South African systems, business alliance. What are we making around that, particularly around business conferences and so forth, and opportunities opening up as a result of the same view, and then there could be regional interaction between our economy and economies, driving economies of Africa like Angola. And then the issue of regional development emanating from Transnistria Park. What are we doing around those? What opportunities there do you think can be obtained from them? And do you think perhaps government has got a role to augment your part? And if so, what resources and capacities are there? What type of capital perhaps can the government bring to the table? And among those, but the questions that will be coming from members, I do not want to deny members their question times, so maybe chewing on the question I asked, and then perhaps after it or as part of it, then infuse some of these questions. I think that would be great. Thank you very much. Over to you, honorable members. Mamukilala, Mama O Tabezita Zulu. Honorable Krumbok, Honorable yes, in that order, and then we'll take the next round of questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it was a good move to have tourism as a standing alone department, because it has so much for South Africa to market. I remember when it was still environmental affairs and tourism. It was just by the very that day when we shall have such a meeting and presentation. I feel so good. You know what, Chesterton, when some of these things do happen, you wonder why. You ask so many questions, but today I'm answered. Well, we've had quite a number of times that the industry is growing. The Chesterton did point that one out in his address. what I love most when it comes to that one, it's just that South Africa is contributing to. We've been trying, promoting domestic tourism. But one was not sure whether it's taking what's coming up, what. It's just today that I had so much. And I feel proud that South Africa, too, is adding value to this program through domestic tourism. It was very good for us to have the management executive introduced in this factory. It was really good. Keep it up because we need to know you. At times you find that we work with you. After 5 years, you don't know the management, you don't know the department, you know, you are just in that, grab that one and that one more than I get at 15. So, but today this was, So, while as I was listening, I heard that marketing rural areas is very costly. But I did not just understand very well. Maybe the presenter can just expand. I'm interested to know. I so appreciate Jefferson and thank the man that introduced what the technology. When we grew up, we never knew what that word technology, you know, it was something else. When it was introduced to Obama, as you know. Look at it. It introduced things like websites. That's where it's at. Huh? How I wish we were all in that advanced stage whereby we were able to use technology as, you know, websites. That's where you get all the stories about South Africa and other countries. I was looking through this, I don't know, because it looks almost like a brochure for it to say, but not the exact yet. But we're seeing pictures. We have a wide spectrum of South Africa. I mean, places whereby you can tour and enjoy and all that. Namapa is one of them and quite a number of them, you know. Now, one is able to address our people and motivate them that you South Africa, we have long been telling you, it's very good. To be a tourist doesn't mean you must go up north. You must fly over the Atlantic Ocean. No. Within, it does happen. And one other thing, the industry is creating a lot of jobs. That is what we really appreciate. How I wish that can go on and go on. But especially that you are facing the 2010. Thank you very much. because it has said somewhere, I don't know, Yabanese reading, somewhere. The portfolio committee used to be invited. We learned a lot from it. But it just says, I don't know what point it is. Anyway.
I think they said that on the day we're having an inauguration in this time. So it was just after elections and we're not around, and on the day of inauguration we were having that in every day.
Thank you very much. And I have a question. Why is it always conducted in the ICT? Because really, it seems it's a culture, it's a tradition that it cannot be at other provinces or whatever, provinces that have ICT, it's always in Devon. But now, as a member of this honorable portfolio committee, I would like to know so that I can be able, you know, to explain to the next person why it is always in Devon. Yes, the last one. I was very much worried. Why? About chocolate. Today, because I remember when it was launched, home, it was one of those news, you know, wow, cool, like chocolate, that one doing chocolate. But of a sudden, it just was, wow. Today, I've got this. Stories about shortlist. I don't want to say much on this, but I'm just here to ask enough about shortlist, which I respect so much for our poor people, for our people. I thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was quite, I felt better when you praised the presenters for the wonderful presentation, because I spent a lot of time dealing with frustration of a mixed up bundle of upside down papers, in so much that there was a time when I folded my hands and not knowing what to do, that I nearly threw all the papers on the floor because they were not relevant. Each time I turned the page, it was facing the other way, so I had to just flip the papers. Having said that about my personal adversity, I thank the presenters for coming this way. And giving us the presentation. I'm wondering what we are talking about when we talk of domestic tourism. Are we talking of South African tourism or of African tourism? This is so, stated by the fact that, particularly when we refer to 2010, when we received that day of elation, and we were talking of an African World Cup, but we don't seem to be talking of tourism Africa. African tourists or Africans make up 75% of all foreign visitors into the country, and they spent in the last year $43 billion in South Africa. Our growth from the African market has been 19% in 2008, the biggest growth of any market. And I don't know why we have not mentioned Africa in our presentation. Maybe it was mentioned prior to my arrival. I'm sorry, Chairperson, I was late. So
South Africa receives, you know, 9 million visitors each year, but, you know, also 7 million arrive by land. I don't know whether we keep statistics of that as well. We have got other stakeholders in the tourism industry. Like, we're assuming that there is synergy and the interrelation that exists between AFSA, Tourism South Africa, FAA, and all the other relevant stakeholders. What is tourism's response, or what measures would tourism take when AFSA hikes its fees by 133% from next year? And this move would untowardly impact on not only the aviation industry, but the tourism industry as well, in terms of inflated airfares by the carriers. My other concern goes to the rural tourism. I was quite perturbed when I heard somebody talking about the inadvisability of venturing into rural or involving rural people in tourism. And yet we are talking of developing our rural communities. They also would like to be exposed. There's a lot to be found in rural areas. You found cultural tourism, ecotourism, all sorts of tourism. You find them in the rural areas. Now, I get perturbed when I hear somebody saying it is expensive to go there. Maybe that is the responsibility of your local, of our provincial tourism department. I'm not sure. But from what I heard, it is a no-go area from this presentation today because it is expensive. And yet, we would like to bring up rural people into the arena. We are talking of bringing, in rural development, we are talking of bringing the civilized urban life into the rural areas in order for us to improve the rural structure and poverty and unemployment in the rural areas. And that's also preventing the influx of people into cities in search of employment opportunities. This actually would, if we were to focus as well towards rural areas. I know people always want to take the shortcuts and the easier roads. When you, even when Martino does a study, they go along N2 and they don't go to the rural areas, and they come back to give you statistics that only pertains to the N2 and the N2 area and the areas around and along N2 and never into the rural areas. In the Eastern Cape, for instance, just to give an example, we have got the most beautiful coastline, but nobody says anything about it. And those are destination areas which we should promote because they are a natural resource and a natural beauty. People come all the way dripping. In fact, we always wonder why we don't see a lot of overseas people. There are some who come, and they are always repeat visitors. They always come to the White House, but nothing is said about SA tourism, about such markets. I would like to hear more as to why we haven't heard something about it, unless it is a competence of that particular province or that particular municipality. I don't know. Also, I'm concerned about this AFSA thing. Worries me. I know you're not here for AFSA, but it is something that is, you know, that is quite worrying, because you know, well, I'm basing what I'm saying on the principle that AFSA has to pre-fund its capital expenditure program and be remunerated through the tariff. Now, if the tariff shoots, then it means fans are going to shoot, how negative an impact would that be to our international guests or tourists? Also, coming to the rural areas as well, or again, I would like to hear what overtures the department has embarked on to encourage the rural tourism operators to make the grade. You have got things like MET for 2010, you have got TEP, and those departments are MET is not a department, it's just a business organization that has been picked by LOC. But you find that there is nothing that is being done to encourage those up and coming entrepreneurs to get onto the mainstream tourism industry. And SA Tourism always puts up graded people who go around grading. And most of the people cannot make the grade because of expectations, especially now with the coming of the 2010. It becomes very difficult for the people in our area to even think of it. Most of them don't even know about it because people don't go there. You always find that people from the cities like Gauteng or Cape Town don't want to go to the rural towns, villages to see what activities are there, what exploratory measures they can embark on in order to make these areas visible. There's no attempt to create visibility or interest in those areas. For the time being, I think I will stop there. I'll come back again.
Thank you very much, ma'am. But I think developing from your difficulties with the understanding the development of rural areas, where there are areas of market failure, perhaps you could also expect government intervention. But government intervention has got to be assisted by perhaps people that are in marketing or in the field. And what type of intervention then the government should make or the things the government should make? I think they could assist us.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate the presentation made by the dedication to the board. One presenter mentioned that the marketing in your work are very costly. I know I think it's very, very important that the tourism should market this within South Africa. Because anything to be attended needs to be open all the time. If it affects the tourism, should expose this to the government, to all South Africa, so that it can be attended. I think another thing which is important is to market tourism at school level. Because African people do not, can say maybe they are not interested to move around. They don't know what they have for money. But if we can start educating them on the school level, that would tell them how important it is just to move on, to know our country. We don't know our country.
instead, you will find people, they say myself, more proud to fly on my field anywhere, then you take away everywhere. But we do not know our country, the beauty of our country, and everything. It is so rich. In such a way, people from outside can tell us better about our country than us. When it comes to it goes together with the crime network to disturb the whole thing. And it, when you promote Ubuntu, people from outside might also know that we have crime like all the countries. Not only South, not that they can just get Ubuntu in the whole South Africa. But there is also crime. But ours is not more than any in the world. You are marketing what you have the experience about. But in the whole presentation, it seems as if you market South Africa as a country in Europe, not in Africa. I'm a man from KwaZulu-Natal, from the royal family. Our own Akaya. But here, when it comes here, nothing that shows Africa. We don't see anything that is Kenya people, Nigeria, Congo, South Africa. When it comes to South Africa, and there are really people, Venda people, Zulu people, other people around, but we can't see anything. You know, recently on this big mess that we had in South Africa, and I had some other people say, look, from Europe, say, they did not know that there are so many people that are blowing this vuvuzela. And the other player said that he was not counseled or educated, that there are so many black people in South Africa. So when I had them, we don't show this. When the people from outside get into this country, they might be shocked. So, where are these people come from? Because I think they were so few. Travel information. And also, illness, travel information, using radio and so on and so on. TV, this is very important. And, but there are places that there are no electricity. Now, my constituency, I can say half of the area, only half of the area that's got electricity. The area is so back in such a way that people are still staying. And we need the tourism people just to go there. There are schools all over the country now, even in the rural, although it is costly to go there because there are no roads. But we need you to go there and assist our people, educate them, so that they can know that such things are happening, such things are happening. When it comes to the flight, so that you are route for air route and also land transport. You know, with the air route, we haven't got much problem. It is well cared, it is well attended. But let's say a man from Europe now visited Cape Town. There's no transport. He needs now a land transport, like taxi. From airport, you'll find that taxi smelling tobacco inside. I'm not a smoker. I get worried when I get in such a text. You are the one who must just try to educate these people. Coming to the text, so let's say a person is here,
accommodated in Cape Town, he wanted to go to Belleville with the public transport. How is our territory? Terrible. They can just eye you on top of the other people, shouting, mocking inside. All this, I think, tourism department and you have to market, you have to educate our people so that when 2010 comes, people must be aware. So even these people who are using taxes, they must, they, when you convey that, you know, don't smoke, it affects me. The driver simply tells you, you better go out. I cannot stop smoking anymore. It's my car. But you must make them to have this Ubuntu. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Kumbo. And Chair, like the previous one, I'm also from KwaZulu-Natal. And I'm sure you'll cross party lines and agree with me that Zimbabwe's got a standard. Okay. But just to get to some questions that are more for the department and actually for tourism. I've got four questions, Chairperson. First one is, I think we all remember back in 1997 when South Africa qualified for the World Cup for the very first time. And those of you around watched the game remember that Chipper Mthunzi scored the only winning goal against the Congo Brazzaville. And the next day, all the Sunday newspapers had front page stories about that. And I remember City Press particularly well, this glory day. And it was one of the greatest days in our nation's history, almost rivaled the 1995 Rugby World Cup win. But the point I'm trying to make here is that the entire nation embraced our achievements in qualifying for the World Cup. Okay? And at the SABC channels ran, I can't remember the African word it was, I don't know, CIA or something like that, but it meant in English, we are going. In other words, we are going to France. And there was promotion to go and attract supporters from our country to go support our team in France for the World Cup of the next year, 1998. Now, I'm sure that certain tourism are aware of the fact that the qualifying stages for 2010 are now drawing to a close, but there's still a number of places in a number of countries which have high tourism potential to us, which they've identified in terms of their filters that haven't yet qualified. And in the European groups, the countries that finish second will play off against each other, and there's a number of those countries that will or will not make it yet. I'm just wondering if there is something in the lines that they've thought about in terms of guerrilla marketing. I'm very impressed with their presentation today. It's quite clearly a huge amount of strategic thinking and planning and a lot of nuances going to deciding how we segment these markets. And one of the slides before, or the four segments that they showed, was just the 5% one, which is called a tactical, the watch list, yes, which was seemed to me an indication that the department keeps the watching, is that tourism keeps the watching brief on opportunities that may arise and then strikes, if I can use a football analogy, from time to time. Would it not be a good idea to follow the progress of the final qualifiers and as a country qualify? Many of them in the qualifying runoff phase will be ones that don't get to the World Cup very often. Tap into that massive enthusiasm as a country will feel as we did in 97 and use that as a sort of window of maybe 2 weeks to promote South Africa and invite people to share the full experience of our country in March of 2010. That was my first point. Then Tourism Day is my second question, Chairperson, and the week. I mean, what really is South African tourism doing? Do we have a role in that? What is the best way to extract advantage for our country out of that particular phenomenon? I haven't heard too much about that. Then my third question is, just on the graph and the numbers that you presented, I think we're all aware that tourism has grown from 2 million odd people 15 years ago to around 10 million now. I know we're going to be a bit of a dip. But I'm not sure that the numbers of people visiting our shores is that much of a reliable indicator. And I say that because I understand, if the tourism is correct, if I'm wrong, that a number of the people that include in that statistics are people that pop across the borders for a day or two to do shopping. Now that's fine, and obviously we welcome the industry and the trade there and the jobs that that creates. So I'm not sure that that actually contributes as much to our economy as someone, for example, coming here from a long haul destination for 2 weeks and spending an exponential amount compared to that. Would it not also be an idea, and I hope it was alluded to by one of the presenters, to actually show spend rather than numbers of people? Because one might find that, for example, a million people from a long haul destination would create far more jobs than a million people from another country. So we don't want the figures to be distorted by, you know, what I'm saying is we might have numbers increasing, but actually less jobs being created because it might not be the tourists with the most money to spend. I think both would be nice to see how many people are coming and also what the rand and cents are that are being spent and give us a better overall picture and holistic view of how it's going. My last question, Chair, is not something which the department spoke to when we had them here or SA Tourism today, but now we know that tourism contributes about 8.5% to our GDP. I've always felt that considering the unique experience we offer in this country, the miracle of our Rainbow Nation, all of the things that have happened here in the last 15 years, that figure is probably too low. I mean, probably, despite the progress that has been made and the tremendous work that tourism is doing in the department, we probably still have a lot of potential to grow. And indeed, last week, I think the minister himself said he's aiming for 14%. What I'd like to ask SA Tourism, is there a definitive study done by perhaps a tourism economist or their own in-house research capabilities which actually identifies what our share of GDP contributed by tourism should actually be, what the numbers coming to this country should be, what the spend by international and local tourists should be, given our unique situation. In other words, that we can interrogate the figure of 8.5%, the numbers of people coming, the jobs created, against some internationally accepted benchmark, which says if you've got this kind of experience you can offer to that kind of country, this is what the numbers should look like. And we can see whether, in fact, we are, in fact, performing to full potential or not. I'm not aware of any such study, but having seen the presentation today, I'm very impressed, and I'm sure SA Tourism would have access to that kind of insight. And I'd love that to be made available to the committee, so we can really see whether we're actually achieving everything that we should achieve. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Honourable Kumbo. I think for business, probably, I think I was mentioning the normal factors. So, and I think on some information lies with the South African Tourism Council. Do you think it's tourism? Yeah. You've got some of the information, but the South African Tourism Council is an independent body.
They have some of the information, but we've done most of the studies on it, so we would be able to share.
Now, and then another question,
please. Three things that I'm wanting to discuss, which is the shortfall of quickly. Cruise business. Now, I know this is a big thing in Cape Town, but it's been looked at in the Durban and PE as well to bring, you know, cruise liners to those things. Are we looking at it as a potential avenue to exploit? Other one, my other two issues are around 2010. Many smaller emerging guest houses and B&Bs wanted to capitalize on the number of visitors coming to South Africa. And it hasn't made, from what I understand, the quality requirements that is required by MASH. Does this exclude them from taking part? Do they need an independent marketing? Because surely you don't have to have mass accommodation or to get a ticket to the stadium. Are they excluded? Is there not some other way we can perhaps market and include these people into the 2010 and all that? Doing that, you are to understand that it's surely the lower cost accommodation. So that might be an opportunity for them. The other one is your idea of that you use wells is to make two businesses into brand ambassadors for something. They go back and tell their story. Now, you're doing an awful lot of very good stuff to get all the foreign businesses to come and perform the World Cup. What are we going to do with these guys once they're here? What are we giving them? What experiences, what material to make their experience more interesting than just the supplement? To make them be brand ambassadors when they go back, so they'll come back until their friends can come back once the stop is over. So, what is their approximate soccer experience? Do you have marketing material in place for that? Do you need money for that? Is the department giving you the necessary funds to actually market South Africa outside of stadiums and pubs to the people who come here for 2020?
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, sister. Firstly, I want to apologize for my late disability because I took a morning flight and the coming from this rural area, the flight was so few, so I took a morning flight. However, I think also I need the first part, the first to the page inside the studio, but I think I'll manage to get the latter part of the presentation anyway. It would be a big one, is repeating what has been said by other people, particularly a question of emphasis. It looks like that. Because the experiences we have are more or less the same, and the relations we make up are more or less the same. I would like to agree with some of the points that have been raised by the colleagues here on the question of domestic. But before I get carried away, I would like to comment on the presentation in general. I must say, I am beginning to enjoy the quality. I like the presentation. I noticed that the people of the Department of Tourism are very optimistic. When they put their points, you know, you just see yourself also getting carried away. But the question is whether we'll be able to achieve these things or not. But I think so much has been achieved before. So we do hope that we will be able to achieve your objectives. For that, I think I would like to congratulate you. And the presentations are very colorful also, and this makes it very interesting to be seeing when we go back to our office. In terms of the domestic travel, I think myself one of the biggest challenges is increasing the volume, Mr. Poole, increasing the volume of domestic travel. The potential is there, but I think as my colleague already said, a large part of that potential is located in the rural area. And therefore the challenge is, how do we make South Africans, particularly in the rural area, develop the culture of travel? Because I don't think it will only be that they don't have the funds or the money. They do, I think they do. But the question is, how do we encourage them? How do we develop that culture of traveling? You know, when I think of my people, for example, during the holidays, they travel. But where to? They visit friends. They visit relatives. We would rather spend the time with an aunt or with the cousin and so on and so forth. But not necessarily to tourist places. This is what I'm trying to say. They visit, but they visit friends, they visit relatives, and yet we find actually that time could have been spent visiting places of interest in South Africa, which are so abundant anyway. And I myself, when I think of so many places of interest that I still want to see before
that time comes. It's a very big challenge. I once traveled to some city. I think we're going to a workshop or something. I saw that beautiful area that I had never seen before, the Mahalisberg area. I would still like to go back there. But still, I have not been. It's many years since I saw that place. But I think because of the culture that we have, not that I can't afford it, but the culture, I have not planned that my December holiday or my June holiday, I will go to Mahalisberg and spend a few days. But there are many other places like that. I'm just trying to give an example. That we have this family. It may not look as so important when you compare importance with the challenge of marketing that we have done internationally. But I think to me it is. We have to find and target domestic families. I said the potential is there. I remember the other day, I can't remember what we have discussed in this committee. I mentioned schools, for example. Schools and institutions of higher learning. These people go out. I want to repeat that. They go out on New Year's Day, or they're going to go out, for instance, the kids are going to be going out and then the next month. But where do they go to the beach? Every time is to the beach, you know, they go to the seaside. Every year is to the beach, to the seaside. And yet there are so many places of interest and also where they could learn more about this country. So we have to find a way of encouraging that. And I think of the church people, for instance. We do see church people these days going out in large numbers, but they don't go to places where, for instance, the tourism industry would benefit more. So I think we have to find a way of reaching these people. And then of course, you know, people out there also. You may say you have advertisements on TV, you have advertisements on radio and so on and so forth. But you might find that you're not actually reaching them. Sometimes we have to do these things in the time. I can imagine, for instance, that the South African tourists visiting the schools in this country and talking to the young people there and encouraging them and showing them the importance, for instance, of traveling to places of interest in this country. And maybe, you know, it could also help open them up and increase their knowledge and give them the self-confidence, you know, and all that kind of thing. It could be part of the education for the young people. I just forget that program, that the most young and what? You have a program that we have. That's right. And I think we can use that and encourage our young people to start the program. Secondly, I would like to talk about briefly about the distribution of the tourism industry itself. I think it is very clear. I think from almost every presentation we have received so far this year from the department, it's very clear that the tourism industry is very well developed in the urban areas, sub-like areas, but we still need to distribute the benefits of the tourism industry to the rural areas, as we have already said. I think that's another big challenge. How do we do it? To me, that is very important. You might find that the traditional way of marketing perhaps are not working well enough for the rural area. So we have to think of how do we adapt our method of marketing so that we can catch those consumers of the tourism industry. To those people who are in the rural areas. And of course, one does not get very well from this presentation, including today, the role of the province, the provincial government, for example, the role of the municipality, the local government. We don't get to see
how the national is also trying to encourage the provinces and is engaging the provinces and the local government to develop the industry. Because they are the ones also on the ground. So when we talk about the rural people, for example, we are really referring to those flat lenders. How are they involved? But of course, for instance, particularly that, you know, one is trying to understand how the industry works. I would be interested to find out how, shall I say, the African funds deals with the private business in terms of the tourism industry, particularly the smaller tourism industry, the SMEs. Yeah, maybe also because I have heard about those, I have met some people who are involved in the tourism industry, but on a much smaller scale. So how do you relate to these people? And what do you do in order to improve, you know, their participation in the industry? Because the whole idea, after all, is also to create as many jobs as possible. We would like the tourism industry to create jobs even for the rural people, not only for the urban areas, but also for the rural people. Well, it's obvious that marketing, as I've already said, is quite advanced, I must say, in the tourism industry. But I would like to know, roughly, what is the cost of this marketing? Your budget for instance for this year. Can you just give us an idea what your budget for marketing, things like advertising and so on is? Even this is not the figure that you are giving me, but the percentage of the total budget of tourism. How much does marketing take out of that? Because obviously it must be taken some good amount. And I think one of the people I talked to who are involved in this small SMEs on tourism, he said to me, one of the most difficulties that they have is to afford marketing. But he goes on to say, in any case, if we don't market, how do we expect anybody to come to a place that has not been marketed? How will they know if it's there? So they also still have to do the marketing. But at the same time, they find it very, very expensive. How can we help them so that they can also improve? Third question, on a lighter note, I've been reading in the documents about the, as we call it, the Disky or Dixie dance. Disky or Dixie? That's right. I'm looking for it. I can't find it on TV. Can you give me an idea where I find it? I've just been on TikTok, I'm not here. Yeah, so that, you know, we can tell people about it so that they can watch it and so on and so forth. Maybe I'm just unable, because of my age, I'm unable to tell the difference I don't know. I've been trying to find this to sit down on TV. I just can't find it. At what time do we say, at the time, and then what station? Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. So let us interact up to about 5 to 1. And I know that many of the challenges are not part of the mandate of FA Tourism. But I also know that many of them can be taken by FA Tourism. That is the first point. And then where you cannot tackle that issue so that perhaps we can try and change other bodies. That's the first point. On the second point, I think on rural tourism, we need a bit of your input, sort of your brains, and then there's appeal for support, and then indicate where there are gaps, and then that together we can find and uplift that type of tourism. We really really need it, I know and we know that intermittency is a matter of bedrooms, intermittency is a matter of press advertising, intermittency is that historically the development of the type of tourism did not happen. But at the same time, there could be positive trends like heritage tourism, cultural tourism. There could be experiences in other areas as well, in other parts of the group, like South America, North America, and so forth, where we can see who plays which role and then how then the government comes into the party to enhance that. Not a question of criticism, but it's a question of trying to flex some of these problems, and then we can identify where they belong and where we can assist the government if we can. So in answering your question, just answer them in that spirit. Thank you.
A local level, a provincial level, and a national level. And I think
that's just something that we need to discuss a bit more, and it's been discussed in the strategy process of the department, about how do we interlock it a lot better, and we actually take on very specific functions. So if you are in a product development, you must be working on product development, you must be helping people, because the critical thing, and I think the Honourable Member has probably put it very well, it's the linkages. You've got to get the linkages into tourism, because you've got to know where the consumers are to get the consumers to you. And they go through other people. They go through travel agents, they go through tour operators, they go through a lot of people. And I think it's a challenge that we face as an industry, and I think it's something that we really do need to work on in terms of making sure that the benefits of tourism are spread further. Because I think some of these towns in South Africa show us what tourism can do, the value that tourism can do, the kind of just the way it can change people's lives. And I think that is really what we would really like to do. In terms of, I'll just answer some of the questions, and I'm going to hand over to Rasheen and Pumi on some of the others. But on the issue of Indaba, Indaba is put out on tender every 3 years. It goes out on tender. The critical thing with Indaba is that very few convention centres have the floor space that we need for Indaba. Our biggest problem in growing Indaba further than where we are is we can't get any more people in. And there's a lot of pressure on us to let the rest of Africa in. And if we let the rest of Africa in, then a lot of South Africa will be able to exhibit at Indaba. So it's a very difficult issue for us. But currently it goes out on tender, and KwaZulu-Natal was always put in the best team. And in the last round, KwaZulu-Natal was the only convention centre that did tender. So there is a process involved in it. So that is something. I would really like to apologise for the principle of the presentation. Not only, yeah, I think people were trying to say paper and the environment, but we'll be very mindful that in the future that we don't do something like that again. The question about schools, I think this is, and maybe tour guides, are two issues that I think would be probably better addressed by the National Department of Tourism than us. The National Department is going to have a career expo later this month, which is about creating awareness of tourism in schools, which is, for us, is very important, by getting people to become part of the tourism industry, and it's also about people knowing more about tourism so that they can go do other things on their holidays and not just go to the beach. So there's a great value in it. They're also responsible for the registration of tour guides. And, we take your point. It's an issue that I think it would be probably a good better addressed by the department than by us. A whole lot of information things. The issue about all the transport issues, about ACSA, and the problems with land, particularly with land transport, we take completely. We are hoping that the investment that has been made in 2010 is going to leave a lasting legacy for our country, because I think if we did have better land transport and more affordable land transport, both domestic and international travel in South Africa would really benefit from it substantially in terms of going forward. Are you going to speak about tourism day? Probably will speak about tourism day. Okay. The issue about value and volume, that's an issue that we look at a lot, because it is very critical in terms of understanding where the relationship is between value and volume. Because in some cases, volume brings value, and sometimes they're typically just high value on their own, but they're not enough of it. That's the problem. And one of the issues for us is about getting the right balance. Because we want tourism to do a big job in this country,
We've got to, you know, we do think big, and maybe we are a bit too optimistic, because we're marketing people, so we can't be good for the three people. You know, so it's something that we look at a lot. In terms of the statistics, we take the base statistics from Homestead. Basically, the survival in the country is processed by Statistics A. They've now got to the point that they can differentiate between arrivals and tourists, and that process is starting now, which is very important because, in terms of the tourism sector, there's more value extraction from tourists because they go to hotels and stay longer, all those issues, than people who just same-day visitors. Same-day visitors are very important for our economy. And I think, you know, when we look at what our mandate isn't about creating tourism jobs, ours is about creating jobs. And the, when you look at the arrivals that come across from land in Africa, what they do for our retail business. You know, when the motor vehicles became put new restrictions on diesel, when we think about these things, we think about them in the bigger picture than just in the narrow tourism sector, because I think there's a lot of value that comes out beyond that, which is very important. In terms of the contributions, we've done an initial study. The Statistics Bay has done an analysis of tourism's contribution to GDP in 2005, but we did one that was led by Roger Bedian, the economics company, and we would be very happy to send it to your committee, because the thing that's very interesting about it, you can see what the direct contribution of tourism is to the tourism sector. The tourism pays a vital contribution to agriculture, to retail, to financial services, to government. It's allowed one to really understand that the contribution of tourism to our economy is a lot bigger than people realize, and I'd be very happy to send it through for circulation to the committee, because I think it would help to understand some of those issues. And also, if we don't grow tourism, what sectors are going to be affected by? Because there'll be a knock-on into other sectors. You know, for example, at the moment, tourism is playing a very important role in the construction sector. The amount of hotels that are being built are quite phenomenal, what is being put in place now. And it's a critical issue. In terms of the contribution to GDP, we like to think about this in real terms, not in percentages. I think it's quite nice to have a percentage because it's easier to use. But when you look at it, it's a relative value, and we want the absolute contribution of tourism, not the relative value of tourism, because the tourism could increase its contribution, it may be a mindset. So one sort of look at it in a slightly more holistic thing. But the one thing that we do is, and we're about to do it again, is we benchmark ourselves against our competitors to understand how are we performing against them. And one of the things that does disturb us a lot is the global benchmark is that every foreign tourist, you know, 8 foreign tourists create 1 job. In South Africa, it takes 12 foreign tourists to create 1 job. And we're not near the best practice. And this is something that we're going to be looking at again and seeing how we can improve this. Because by giving people information and telling them about things they can do, is that we can get more money out of it. And we can get much more value and yield out of our businesses, which I think we can work with later on. The last question the issue about the cruise business, perhaps the kind of hard fact of it is, Portsmouth has done 2 studies on this to see what's Is it the temple around the eastern seaboard, linked into the Indian Ocean Islands? There is potential there. The potential in the rest of the country isn't that great because of the seasonality in the winter. Getting round the Eastern Cape Coast in some times of the year is quite hard in terms of what those storms are like. And you know, people who go on cruise ships want to be absolutely flat the whole time. They don't want storms. And the other thing is it's a very, very changing market. We've looked at it a couple of times. We do very well out of the cruise industry when it collapses and it's wrong. We do very well when there's problems with storms. But as soon as those areas go back, the boat comes. Except for that so there is a potential there, it's not a huge one. And Portsmouth are quite worried about what the potential is for them. The last thing on the 2010 accommodation, the issue around matching accommodation is around the rooms that MASH is looking for, largely for the people. So 55,000 that we hear about is largely around the people. There's a huge opportunity for hundreds of thousands of other people who will be around. And for those people, the critical thing for those people who want to get past this is that they've got established provisions. They've got to be in with their local authorities information office, with their provincial authorities. That's how you've got into the success in tourism is around these things. You've got to be supportive. This is not a place where you can just start and live on your own and think that people will come. You've got to explore in your media surroundings all the networks that you can use and to lift yourself into the business.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think Judy has covered most of the questions. I was just looking through them myself to see which other ones. The issue around Africa and the importance of Africa to us, I think you're speaking to the converted, you know, because for us that is very important. We invest a lot into Africa, both in terms of the land tourism but also in terms of care. We have recognized the importance of Angola and DRC, and we've seen it come up in our market, but in our new portfolio that we will share with you when that is completed, they've actually moved even further up for markets. That's the work that Pumi and his team work on a lot. And the issue of the African World Cup has also been quite important to us. We've been working hard in Africa, and maybe preempting you, Pumi, on the qualifiers that was mentioned, and in the other countries as well. Every time a team has qualified, we've been there. So we've done that in Australia, in Japan, in Korea, in Netherlands, Nigeria, and in Kenya, where we've taken the ski dances that you asked about into the market. We've done an activation around South Africa is waiting to welcome you into our country. So join us in the biggest celebration. That campaign has gone out internationally, so it's done all the international media. In terms of South Africa, we don't have actual ads running on TV. We want to get there, and I was never going to say this. I wasn't going to say it's an issue of budget, but unfortunately that one is, because the SABC is in crisis. So we normally manage to get quite a lot with them, which right now, but we will be on. We'll be working with them, and we are on SuperSport and on DSTV as well, but not on SABC with that particular campaign. However, the work will be done. We've taken it out more on roadshows and in working with all the different events that have happened. We've been there in the international and the local events like the Vodacom Challenge, like the British Lions Tour. Now with the cricket that's coming up, the Champions Trophy, we've used those events in order to market it. And we've gone out to all the soccer events that have been to mark coming up to 2010. There was a question asked about SMMEs. It's very important to us that SMMEs do become part of the tourism plan. Dee spoke about the match accommodation issue, but for us, You know that TEP is involved. TEP gets a budget from the department to look at training for SMEs. We work with TEP on the ITEA program, where probably about 350 SMEs go through that program annually. And we've been running that for about 8 years now. We work with them on marketing. We help them develop the website for their marketing work. We take them to the international shows that happen in London and in Germany. But we also take them to workshops that we run, both locally and internationally, where their products will be important for a particular market. So depending on the market where we are. So in terms of the marketing side, we work with TEP so that we can help people to market better. The other point that was being asked about is how do we actually market South Africa now? We do have a product database which is on our website, which means all the products in South Africa are registered on that. It has been difficult for us to get smaller products to actually register, but there's no cost. They can do it through SMS. Once they register with us, they're on the site. So if anyone is searching, like I explained earlier, they will find the product there. So we will market whatever exists. We don't decide we're only going to market this experience or that experience. Everything that exists is out there and it's part of our marketing and our delivery. Where we have an issue, Chairperson, and you were asking the question, is that with the local areas, and not rural areas, because I actually think some of the problems are in Johannesburg, where, you know, the city needs to be able to package so that the city can say, if you come into Joburg for a conference, here is a one-day tour that you can take to see the rest of the place. And we've been trying, in all our work with them, we've been saying, let's do this. And there's some successes and not in so many places. So if people go to the Kruger Park, you don't want them to go to the Kruger Park and then drive back to the airport. You certainly don't want them necessarily to fly from Joburg to the Kruger Park. You want to make it interesting and exciting for them. So you want the Limpopo and the Mpumalanga to be packaging the trip that will take people there. They can stay overnight somewhere. So it's the same story with the Wild Coast. And I personally visited the Wild Coast with our former CEO, Cheryl Carolus, on a visit to go and see what we can do to help the Wild Coast. Our problem with the Wild Coast is the state of accommodation. It's an appalling state of accommodation. And up to today, there hasn't been any investment put into getting proper accommodation. Backpackers go there, and that's fine. There's some great backpacking lodges. There are some B&Bs people can use. But people pass through it. They don't stay over because they're looking for better accommodation. They're looking for not necessarily five stars. They're just looking for something that is clean and decent and that they feel I can have a good night here. So we are willing and able to promote these areas. The issue is about the development side of it, which does become a competence actually of the local municipality. And for the local municipality to ensure that there is investment coming in there. Because when that happens, you look at the Northern Cape, where people go out there and travel out because you can go into the Richter Veld, you can use Upington as a base and travel up to Kalahari. And there are places where you can stay. So it's all about how you package it and make it work for you. I think that covers the ones that I have to do. But there was a question saying, why do we market South Africa looking like Europe? Now, sir, I have to tell you, you have to see all our work. Because then you will see we don't do that. We're actually marketing this country around our people. And it is, at the end of the day, the one thing that we can be different from any other country is because of who we are as South Africans. We have this unique combination of a Asia, Europe, and Africa that comes together into this melting pot that we call the cultural diversity of South Africa. And we do market that because it comes out in our culture, in our food, in our art, in our lifestyle, in the way we are. And when we can, or if we can send you all our work, you'll be able to see that we do that, I think, as well as we can. There was a question about our budget for this year. Did you want to? because we do have an annual report that we bring to Parliament. There is no secret about our budget. Our total allocation from the department this year, I think, was 700 million. Of that, about 500 million is towards marketing. We've got to make sure that our overheads stay below 10%, and the rest of it is put into marketing. So that's what we work on. When you convert that into dollars and into pounds and into euros and into renminbi, it's not a lot of money. So we always say, you know, Australia has a budget that's double that. And you know, that, and they have to do similar work that we have to do because we are far away from a lot of the countries where we are marketing. But we make that stretch for us to use it both for domestic, for regional marketing, as well as for the international marketing. But it does have, I think it makes us smarter and more focused because we work with a finite budget. So we work on more individual marketing rather than trying to be big bang. Okay, I think hand over to Pumi maybe on some of the other issues.
If there's any question,
I think we've answered. Oh, sorry. The information provision we will be doing, we will be promoting activities that people can do at the airport, and that will be the main source of information that we will do, but we'll also use the fan park and stadium. The big job that we as South African Tourism are doing for the Soccer World Cup is around the media. We're taking responsibility for the media that's coming through, because we need them to write more about South Africa than just the game itself.
Can you put me 1 or 2 minutes? No, I have time.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I'm just going to pick up on something that Roshina has been picked up on, which is Tourism Month. We're responsible for the launch of the Tourism Month to the media. And this was done in conjunction with the National Department of Tourism. And what you also do is you plan an event together with the National Department of Tourism that's going to happen on the 27th in the Northern Cape. But what we're doing in between that is we have radio programs and television programs that highlight the importance of traveling within their own country. So this is known that is an international theme for Tourism Day. What we've done is we've looked at our own specific thing, which would be get to know your own country and be ready to be a visitor to welcome the visitors for 2010. And one last thing that was also mentioned is it seems like we are using the traditional type of media. We are not, in terms of attracting the people. I will cite an example of one of the most successful things that we've done is called the Fun Bus. The Fun Bus, we did it, and we have been doing it. It's one of the most successful projects that we ran, where we actually look at the packages, put them together, and then use different types of mediums to attract people. And this was a Fun Bus that was going to travel from Johannesburg all the way down to Durban, and they're going to spend the weekend there and come back. What we saw with that Fun Bus, and it was filled within a couple of days, and that was mainly filled by a social group and a church group that came all the way from Limpopo, and then to leave at 3 o'clock in the morning in order to board the bus in Johannesburg. So that is where we're actually finding more and more conversion, where that is why we're dealing now with the unions, we're dealing with the social groups, and those are the places where we are and promoting tourism and talking tourism. It's no longer about going to using only television, but we're looking at ways in which we could look at organized groups that are already saving, and then find ways in which we could then convert them, because it's much easier there because they're already a culture of saving. It's just a matter of providing them with an offering that they can take advantage of. And my colleagues have already covered the issues of Africa and how we deal with that, especially with the qualifiers. Last weekend there was Nigeria and Tunisia. We had a huge activation in Abuja, and where we the fit dancers were there. So we are following all the different qualifiers. Ghana qualified last on Sunday, and we are doing a Ghana campaign this coming weekend as a congratulatory campaign to Ghana. Even though it's not a market that we involved in, but because of them coming here, then we are going to do a campaign in that market. Thank you.
Thank you very much for all the presentation, and then Let us look at that as a tourism bank that we received from the Minister in Singapore 2 months ago, and this is for some of these things. And I want to thank you very much for coming here and thank you to honorable members. We together shall make it through and even better. We shall inspire each other in order to be able to inspire all people in South Africa and in the tourism industry. Thank you very much for your attention.